Dear friends, great to see all of you here today at Bethlehem. As we think about our lives, let's be honest, our lives can easily be consumed with temporal things. In other words, the time that God gives us, we can use it all up on things that are temporary, and we never get to what is most important, which is the Word of God. Well, maybe I'm preaching to the choir because here you are in church, but anyway, though, even for us, once we leave church, can't our lives become so much about the temporal? Think about it like this. Isn't this a routine for many people? Eat, sleep, play, repeat. They can do that day after day, week after week, month after month, and there's no room for the things of God at all. What does God do? Each week, He gives us the gift of 168 hours. Isn't that amazing that there are that many hours in a week, and yet I know I'm pretty good at filling up the whole thing, and I'm thankful that a fair amount of that time, of course, has to do with the Word of God. But that's in part because I'm a pastor, but that's also in part because I'm one of the sheep, because I'm a follower of Jesus. So I'm taking time in the Word of God each day for my own benefit, and then I spend time in the Word of God that I might benefit myself and those who gather here at Bethlehem. So that's something that I'll continue to do for my own benefit, hopefully the rest of my life. I encourage you to do the same if you're not already doing that. Each week we have a choice. We can be consumed with the temporal things and kind of squeeze God out of our lives, or we can put Christ and eternal things first. Think about what Jesus said there in Matthew 6, but seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and everything else will be added to you. I didn't know that for a long time, but it's an amazing thing when we set aside the temporal and we focus on the spiritual. Amazingly, God gives us this peace and joy in Jesus, and at the same time, hey, we have all the stuff we need for this temporal life. It's an amazing thing. God wants us to step out in faith and know that is true. Well, as we get into the topic here of Martha and Mary, let's take a look here. We're in Luke chapter 10, picking up in verse 38. We see a dinner invitation. I'm going to read the text again. It's a short one today. Now as Jesus and his disciples were traveling along, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. We don't know the exact situation here, but we know that Jesus was with his disciples. They come to the town of Bethany, and we know that Jesus goes into Bethany apparently by himself, and maybe his disciples, they kept going on the road the additional 2 miles into Jerusalem. Martha and Mary, it appears that they were prominent people there in Bethany, because we know when their brother Lazarus died, the Bible tells us there were many who came in order to mourn with them. Many came from Jerusalem in order to mourn with them. They must have been prominent, important people. Does that really matter? Not really. I'm just trying to kind of set the scene here for what we have going on. And then coming to the topic of the eternal focus, the Bible says, Martha had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet and was listening to his word. So understand it this way, Mary, by sitting at Jesus' feet, so Jesus is seated on some kind of a chair, she's seated on the floor at his feet, so she was putting herself in the position of being the pupil, and she was looking to Jesus as her teacher. That was a very good situation to be in. We could say that Mary was open to hear Jesus. Think about this familiar passage here in Jeremiah 29. The Lord said, "You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." God wants us to be completely open to how he is trying to communicate with us. And what's the best way to be open? Well, to approach the Bible with a completely open heart and mind, not just to go through it and to check it off the list, but rather to approach it with complete openness, saying, Lord, I know this is your word. Speak to me. Help me to understand it. Help me to believe it. Help me to apply it in my life. But there are many people, though, that are closed off to Jesus. We live in a fallen world, and there are powerful forces of evil that want to convince us that we're okay with God, when in fact we're not. And then we can become closed off thinking, hey, I already have what I need, so I don't need to pay attention. But yet, that is a great deception. Let's be careful that we are not deceived in that way. Think about the words of Jesus here. He's quoting from the Old Testament, and he said, while seeing, they may see and not perceive. And while hearing, they may hear and not understand. That's what's happening with most of the world today, because they're not open to the things of God. They're not seeking the things of God with their whole heart. May God help all of us to be completely open, and God will communicate with us, and God will give us the truth, and God will bless us now and forever. Think about this quote here by the Bible commentator Lenski. He wrote, to receive the doctrine of Jesus with a quiet heart, notice here, is better than any work, any labor, any sacrifice, or any suffering. Sometimes we get so involved in those things that we think those are better, but he's saying to hear the teaching of Jesus is better than any of that. But then think about the second part of the quote here, to close the ear, to turn the heart away, no matter what the cause. You know, we're pretty good at coming up with all kinds of different excuses, but no matter what the cause, to close the ear is bound to be fatal, for it shuts off the life stream on which our faith depends. What did Jesus say there in Matthew 4 when he was confronted by the devil? He said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We need food for our bodies. Well, we desperately need the word of God for our souls. Going on to the next part here, we come to the temporal focus. The Bible says, but Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to Jesus and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the serving by myself? Tell her to help me. Thinking about the whole situation here, Martha is the one who invited Jesus to come to the home. And what did she want to do? She wanted to make a very special meal for Jesus, so she had a lot of preparation to do. What was Martha's perspective on this? To her, it seemed obvious. Hey, we have Jesus here. I'm doing the best I can. And my sister Mary, she should be helping me too. This would only be right. Martha thought she was right. Don't we oftentimes think we are right too about a lot of things? Sometimes we are right. But anytime we're in the Word of God and we have one idea, and the Bible is communicating something else, may God help us to quickly give up on what we think is right, and let's always go with the Word of God. So important. I think Martha forgot something here. Jesus told us why he came. He said, I did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give my life a ransom for many. So here is Martha wanting to do everything she could to serve Jesus. And isn't that right? Here he is, the Son of God in human flesh. It's only right that we would do everything to serve him. And yet let's understand, he is the greatest servant of all. He came to do for us what we could never do for ourselves. He came to serve us. So really Jesus was saying, Martha, sit down with your sister and let me serve you. You can make us the peanut butter and jelly sandwiches later. Let me serve you. And then we see Jesus had great love, though, for Martha. The Bible says, but the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. Isn't that our lives today? Haven't the forces of evil done such a great job in the United States of America in order to get most of us so very busy with so many things in this life? Let's understand it. Let's step back from it. Let's see how we're getting pulled in a wrong direction inch by inch, and let us repent wherever we need to repent. Well, Jesus did show great love to Martha. By saying her name twice, he was saying, Martha, I love you. I care about you. I'm going to die for you. Listen to me. Think about what Jesus said there about Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem. So when we have that repetition, Jesus is saying to Jerusalem, I love you people in this city so much. How often I wanted to gather your children together just as a hen gathers her young under her wings. What is the rest of the quote? So sadly, but you were not willing. Boy, don't we live in that world today? So many, they are not willing. We had a man here making a delivery last week, and I met him down at the end of the hall, and he brought everything in, and then he was talking about how he was going to be retiring soon, and he was hoping that his health would hold out. So I brought up the topic about how I used to work with a man, and within a year of retiring, he died. Then we kind of transitioned over into the importance of dying with Jesus. So we talked for a minute or two, and I said to him, I'd love to give you some additional information. It's right at the end of the hall here, and I'll give you some things that are simple to read, and you can find out more about how important it is to know about the things of God. About three different times, he refused. He's like, nope, I'm not interested. I'm fine. Everything is good. But here he is, apart from Jesus, he doesn't even know it, and he would not even accept a couple pieces of paper that could have changed his life for eternity. It was such a sad thing, but I'm glad I said what I said to him. I wanted to mention here on the topic of diversions. Some of you might know that that is the name of the comic section in the Cleveland Plain Dealer. So you have all those, you have that color page with all the comics. If you look at the name at the top, it's called Diversions. Isn't today's world filled with so many temporal things that consume our time and keep us away from Jesus? Here's some good advice, I think, for all of us here in Ephesians 5. It says, be careful how you walk. In other words, be careful how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Let's understand that's the world in which we live in. May God help us to see not only the things we see with our physical eyes, but may God help us to see with our spiritual eyes and not be led in all these wrong directions. And then coming here to good intentions. So Martha, she certainly wanted to do something good for Jesus, so her intentions were good. But what she didn't realize, though, is Jesus wanted to do something good toward her, which was even more important than what Martha wanted to do toward him. It made me think about this question here. How is our current involvement in temporal matters possibly harming or even destroying our saving relationship with Jesus? Is there something that we're doing, or are there people we are associating with, or is there some kind of a club we belong to? Whatever it might be, is there something going on in our lives that we know is not helping us spiritually and actually is hurting us spiritually. God wants us to examine our lives, and if there is something like that, God is saying, be careful. God is calling us to repent from that, to let that temporal thing go, and to focus more on our Lord Jesus Christ, because someday only He and our relationship with Him, that is all that will matter someday. The final part here, instruction from Jesus, he said to Martha, only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. Well, why won't it be taken away from her? Because it is of eternal significance. We live in this temporal world, so when we think about our five senses, all the things we know with our five senses, that's kind of what is real for us, but all that's going to be gone someday. What is going to last forever, that would be the things that we cannot see. It reminds me of the passage there in 2 Corinthians 4:18. It says, we do not look at the things that are seen, but at the things that are not seen. For what we see lasts only a while, but what we do not see lasts forever. May God help us to remember that, and may God help us to order our lives according to these unseen realities that are eternal. Just a couple final thoughts here. So this good part that Jesus was talking about, he's talking about the Word of God. That's the good part. Think about Jesus is seated, Mary is on the floor, and she's taking in the Word of God. That's the good part. Why is the Bible necessary? Well, it shows us God's greatness. God is such an awesome God. Think about so many awesome things in the Bible about Him. It identifies our sin. So when I look in the mirror, I'm going to see myself exactly as I am, whether I like it or not. Hey, that's it. So when we look into the Bible is showing us our sin. It's like looking into the mirror of the law. It's showing us where we are falling short. It's important to know that. The Bible also tells us about who Jesus is and the work that He has done to take away our sins. And the Bible also calls us then to repent and believe. These are important things for everyone in the entire world. And then finally, what were some of Mary's blessings? So by the grace of God, she understood the Word of God. There are people that are not interested in it and they don't understand it. But the ones who are open to it, like Mary, they understand the Word of God. She put Jesus first in her life. Maybe she was even feeling guilty that she wasn't helping her sister, but she reasoned in her own heart and mind and said, I know my sister wants me to help her, but we have the Son of God here in our house, and I want to hear what He has to say. She trusted in Jesus as her Savior. We don't choose Him, but God chooses us. God brings us into His kingdom. God had done that for Mary, and then what did she live with? She lived with peace, knowing her sins were forgiven. She had joy, confident that God was with her, that God would help her, that God would carry her all the way through this fallen world until she was finally with Him forever. May God help us also to have those great blessings in our lives too. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank You so much for coming to serve us through Your life, Your death, and Your resurrection. As we live in this fallen world, and as we are pulled in so many directions with temporal things, help us to remember that You are most important. Help us to put You first day by day. Grant us peace, grant us joy, carry us through this valley of sorrow until finally we are with You forever. And all God's people said, Amen.